The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs. Will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday and a brand new week here at the Nicole Sandler Show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. Not only is it Tuesday, it is spring. Spring has sprung, but if you're in the Northeast, Boston or D.C. or somewhere where they're getting snowed on today, or perhaps in California where there's a massive, massive rainstorm happening, you might not think so, but spring is here. It's the vernal equinox. So there is that. It's also the 15th anniversary of the war with Iraq. Yeah. So that happened on this date in history. Today is primary day in Illinois. So perhaps you can vote for Maureen Newman in her primary against Dan Lipinski. If you listen on to the show on Thursdays, you've heard Howie Klein talk about Dan Lipinski and how truly awful he is, and how a lot of Democratic, let me restate that, progressive groups have gone out of their way to endorse the progressive challenger, Maureen Newman, over the incumbent Blue Dog, New Dem, whatever he is, certainly not a progressive, not even really a Democrat, Dan Lipinski. Today's your day. I'm always talking about how important primaries are, and today is the day in the state of Illinois. So if you're in Illinois and you haven't voted yet, you're excused. Go vote, okay? You're not excused from voting. You're excused from the show. Go vote. There was another school shooting today, this one in Maryland. Fortunately, only the shooter is dead. Apparently, this guy didn't have an assault rifle. He had a, if the few details that I know are true, because we know these things often change once you get into the story, but it sounded like the shooter had a pistol. It was the beginning of the day. He was targeting someone in particular, allegedly a girl. He shot her and another boy. And then it's unclear whether it was the school resource officer or the shooter himself who killed himself. I don't know. But the shooter is dead and two other kids are injured. But thankfully, knocking on a wood laminate here, thankfully they seem to be okay. This coming just days before the March for Our Lives, which is going on all over the country. And you do know because I tell you about it. I live at Ground Zero. I'm in the next town over from Parkland. And we have marches happening on Saturday, not only in Parkland, but also in my town of Coral Springs. These are towns that never have anything. Call it apathy, I don't know, but this time they're energized. So you can go to just Google March for Our Lives, and you'll find wherever you are a march near you if you can't make it to Washington, D.C., and many of us can't. Go participate. It is that important. It really is. There's a law that took effect. Our Governor Voldemort actually signed a little bit of gun control into law after the horrific shooting in Parkland. And one of the things that it does is it allows family members to raise a red flag and to take away guns when someone is not well. And apparently That happened. Let me see if I can open this. While most of the attention of the bill has focused on armed teachers and the waiting periods and age limitations for long gun purchases, lawmakers and advocates on both sides of the debate have said little about the expansion of police powers to seize weapons from people deemed a threat by either police or a court. In cases where police involuntarily commit someone deemed a threat to himself or others, officers, quote, may seize and hold a firearm or any ammunition if the person in question has made a, quote, credible threat of violence. The guns and ammo can be returned within 24 hours of the person being discharged from a holding facility. Police can, however, hold on to the weapons and ammunition for 7 days in some cases. The bill also generally bans firearm possession by those judged mentally defective or have been committed to a mental institution. And that apparently happened here in Broward County today to somebody. Somebody had their gun taken away when I think it was a wife or a mother raised a red flag. So look, they're baby steps, but that's how you walk, you know, one step at a time. There are conflicting reports about the shooter in Parkland and whether or not he was allowed to bring a gun with him when this family took him in after his mother died. Just in November, his mother died, I think of the flu, of all things. Mark Caputo, who writes the Florida playbook for Politico, just tweeted out, thanks to Florida's just passed law, police have the power to take firearms away from potentially dangerous people. Had it been in effect here, there's a chance the AR-15 used in the Parkland massacre would have been taken away. And he retweets something from Terry Parker, who is a reporter from Palm Beach. Oh, WPBF.com. Okay. And she tweeted out, when Roxanne Deschamps took in the shooter, I don't use his name, she warned him he could not bring any guns. Then she found a receipt for a new gun and called 911. But I guess it didn't do any good because there was nothing she could have done about it. Although I don't understand that. If he's a minor living in her house, I would think that she could have done something about it. Regardless, now there is a law that says, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. You just can't do that. And never a dull moment, right? So this weekend was insane. Friday night, what's his name? Jeff Sessions fires Andrew McCabe. The best explanation of what happened over the weekend that I found happened yesterday. Katie Turr fills in for Chuck Todd on Mondays on the Meet the Press Daily, and she opened the show with the last 72 hours. Well, since it was yesterday, it's now 96 hours, but this will bring you up to date better than I could.
All of what I'm about to tell you has happened just in the last 72 hours or so. The president praised the firing of the deputy FBI director, Andrew McCabe. After McCabe said he and the special counsel were being unfairly targeted, the president targeted him and the special counsel. He called McCabe a liar. He called Mueller's probe a fraud. After it was reported that McCabe took notes on his interactions with President Trump and gave them to Mueller, the president claimed McCabe fabricated those memos. Guys, those memos may corroborate James Comey's claims of obstruction, which is perhaps why the president also called James Comey a liar. The president called Mueller's probe a witch hunt, too, while using a hefty bit of disinformation to make his case. He twisted the findings of the House Intel Committee, seemingly to discredit Mueller's investigation. He also claimed there's been corruption at the highest levels of the FBI, the Justice Department, and the State Department. His outside counsel put out a statement calling for the Justice Department to shut Mueller down. And NBC News has confirmed that the president is hiring a lawyer who's publicly suggested that the Justice Department framed the president. Again, all of these attacks against the special counsel, all of these developments have happened in roughly the last 72 hours.
96.
The White House says the president is not considering nor discussing firing Mueller. You can debate whether or not you believe that. But you cannot debate the lengths to which the president is now going to discredit Mueller's investigation, which comes amid signs that Mueller's investigation is getting closer to the president. Whether Mr. Trump is guilty of something or totally innocent, we don't fully know yet. But to paraphrase what one Republican, top Republican, said this weekend, if you're innocent, you act like it.
Yeah. Trey Gowdy actually said that, believe it or not. Trey Gowdy of South Carolina, a congressman who chairs the House Oversight Committee, who is not running for re-election, of all things. Maybe he's feeling emboldened now to speak up. Said, you know, if you're innocent, act innocent. Some good words of advice. Lots more happened, and we'll get into it with in today's Tweet Spot with Gotta Laugh. She joins us in just a few minutes. But first, let's take a time out for What's News. I'm Nicole Sandler. We'll be right back.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Executives from Cambridge Analytica, which was hired by the Trump presidential campaign, have been caught on tape promising an extraordinary package of propaganda strategies to potential clients, including filming opponents in compromising situations with Ukrainian sex workers. Over the weekend, a whistleblower who worked with Cambridge came forward to claim that the company had surreptitiously misused the Facebook data of 50 million people in order to win election campaigns.
Cambridge Analytica was founded on misappropriated data of at least 50 million Facebook users, and I want to bring attention to that so that people understand that their data is being used improperly by this company. So I think it's really important for Americans to know what this company has been doing with their data, and it's really important, I think, to find out, was this data used to help elect Donald Trump?
The Trump campaign's big data company now stands accused of wrongdoing, including possible criminal acts on two continents. Just days after a whistleblower alleged that Cambridge Analytica weaponized the personal information of 50 million Facebook users, saying he created, quote, Steve Bannon's psychological warfare tool, an undercover video investigation shows Cambridge Analytica in action. The head of the company caught on hidden camera bragging about possibly criminal strategies to get clients elected.
We'll have a wealthy developer come in, somebody posing as a wealthy developer.
I'm a master of disguise.
Yes. They will offer a large amount of money to the candidate to finance his campaign in exchange for land, for instance. We'll have the whole thing recorded on cameras, the blank out face of our guy, and we have posts on the internet.
So it'll on the Facebook or YouTube or something like this, it can be.
Send some girls around to the candidate's house. We have lots of history of things.
Cambridge Analytica denies any wrongdoing. The U.S. Supreme Court on Monday denied the Republican effort to block a new Pennsylvania district map drawn by the state's top court. As a result of the ruling, the newly drawn map, as proposed by Pennsylvania's Supreme Court, will take effect in the upcoming 2018 midterm elections. A woman died after being struck by an Uber self-driving vehicle in Arizona, the first known death of a pedestrian struck by an autonomous vehicle on public roads, the New York Times reported on Monday. A statement from Tempe police say the vehicle was in autonomous mode with a human safety driver behind the wheel when it hit the woman who was crossing the street outside of a crosswalk. Officials say the accident occurred overnight and the woman has not been publicly identified. Uber said in a statement that they are fully cooperating with local authorities and has suspended their self-driving car tests in Tempe, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, and Toronto. Actress Cynthia Nixon, best known for Sex and the City, has announced her candidacy for New York governor in a video statement posted on Twitter.
I love New York. I've never wanted to live anywhere else. But something has to change. We want our government to work again on health care, ending mass incarceration, fixing our broken subway. We are sick of politicians who care more about headlines and power than they do about us. I'm Cynthia Nixon. I'm a New Yorker. And together, we can win this fight.
Donald Trump was in Manchester, New Hampshire on Monday to lay out his plan to end the opioid epidemic in a speech that focused heavily on punitive measures.
We can have all the blue ribbon committees we want, but if we don't get tough on the drug dealers, we're wasting our time. Just remember that. We're wasting our time. And that toughness includes the death penalty. You know, it's an amazing thing. Some of these drug dealers will kill thousands of people during their lifetime. Thousands of people. And destroy many more lives than that. But they will kill thousands of people during their lifetime. And they'll get caught and they'll get 30 days in jail. Or they'll go away for a year. Or they'll be fined. And yet if you kill one person, you get the death penalty or you go to jail for life. So if we're not going to get tough on the drug dealers who kill thousands of people and destroy so many people's lives, we are just doing the wrong thing. We have got to get tough. This isn't about nice anymore. This isn't about committees. This isn't about let's get everybody and have dinners and let's have everybody go to a blue ribbon committee and everybody gets a medal for frankly talking and doing nothing. This is about winning a very, very tough problem. And if we don't get very tough on these dealers, it's not going to happen, folks. It's not going to happen. And I want to win this battle. I don't want to leave at the end of 7 years and have this problem.
He also said the administration will be, quote, spending a lot of money on great commercials to show the dangers of drugs. Quote, that's the least expensive thing we can do, where you scare them from ending up like the people in the commercials. And we'll make them very bad commercials. We'll make them unsavory situations. I got the news. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com. And now, it's time for The Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Ah, yes. Every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh, and we shoot the shit about the news gleaned from Laffy's Twitter feed and her tweet spot. So let's get Laffy on the line, shall we? Hello?
Yes, you've reached the non-disclosure agreement hotline.
Oh, okay.
Press 1 if you think Trump thinks NDA stands for No Democracy Allowed.
Yeah.
Yes. And press 2 if you think Trump thinks NDA stands for No Dissent Allowed.
That too.
And press 3 if you think NDA should stand for No Donald Allowed.
The button's stuck. The button's stuck. The button's stuck.
Yeah. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
So, while I was trying to like collect myself and kind of, you know, ready myself for the show, this Guardian piece broke. Cambridge Analytica execs boast of role in getting Trump elected. So I live tweeted a 7-parter for you so I could read it on the air what they were reporting.
Okay.
I thought their next report was coming out tonight or our time, I guess.
Today.
Somewhere.
Well, today. It's this afternoon here. It's tonight there. It's 4.
Oh, right. And, yeah. Here and, it's still barely, you know, it's almost morning. So, yeah, your time. You're right.
Right. It's 4 hours later in England than it is here on the Eastern time zone right now, because they're not on daylight saving time yet.
Yeah, what do I know anyway? But so if you want to go right to TweetSpot, I've got tons and tons of breaking news stuff.
Okay, well, let's do it.
Welcome to my TweetSpot.
All right, so news, new breaking news.
Yes, and the people on Twitter already have it. So but literally just before, I was listening, trying to listen to your news spot, and then I ended up doing this instead. So sorry if I missed that. But
that's okay.
Cambridge Analytica executive boasts of role in getting Trump elected. And then in a secretly recorded conversations, Cambridge Analytica CEO Alexander Nix, who, by the way, they just suspended.
Ooh.
That's breaking news. Claimed he had met Trump many times, while another senior member of the staff said the firm was behind the Defeat Crooked Hillary advertising campaign. Caught on camera by an undercover team from Channel 4 News, Nix was also dismissive of Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee who had questioned him over Russian meddling in the 2016 campaign. Senior managers then appeared to suggest that in their work for U.S. clients, there was planned division of work between official campaigns and unaffiliated political action groups. That could be considered coordination, which is not allowed under U.S. election laws.
Uh-oh.
Head of data, I think it's Alex Taylor. I can't remember his first name. I'm reading my shortened version, so forgive mm-hmm. me. When you think about the fact that Trump lost the popular vote by 3 million votes but won the Electoral College vote, that's down to data and research. You did your rally, research, period. I'm sorry, I'm trying to read my shortened tweet here. You did your rallies in the right locations. You moved more people out in those key swing states on election day. That's how he won the election. When the undercover reporter expressed worries that American authorities might seize on details of a dirty campaign, Nick said the U.S. had no jurisdiction over Cambridge Analytica, even though the company is American and is registered in Delaware. And finally, the Republicans only asked, this is in the House hearing.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans only asked three questions, which took 5 minutes, he told the reporter. And while the Democrats spent 2 hours questioning him, he claimed they were so far out of their depth that he didn't mind responding.
Okay.
So that's just sort of a, you know, jotting down the notes version during your opening
right.
segment.
Well, this video is supposed to be released tonight, so I guess it just hit in
yeah.
the UK and here. I guess I know what I'll be watching tonight, because tomorrow on the program, our pal Dennis Campbell, UK Progressive, is going to be here.
Good, good, good.
So we can talk about this and, you know, other
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, this is just the breaking news version. I really didn't read the article. I was skimming it and pulling quotes as fast as I could just to get out the news. But there you go. So, you know, you guys can look up on the Guardian website. I'm sure by the time we're off the air, it'll be everywhere.
Right.
And then Jake Tapper, he tweeted, the board of Cambridge Analytica has announced today that it has suspended CEO Alexander Nix with immediate effect pending a full independent investigation. And he has three more tweets on this. In the view of the board, Mr. Nix's recent comments, secretly recorded by Channel 4 and other allegations, do not represent the values of operations of the firm. And his suspension
sure.
reflects the seriousness with which we view this violation. I'm sorry, this is hilarious. We have asked Dr. Alexander Taylor, that's the one I quoted, to serve as acting CEO while an independent investigation is launched to review those comments and allegations. We have asked Julian Malins, or I think that's his name, QC, to lead this investigation, the findings of which the board will share publicly in due course. I'm sure in about a year it'll come out, right? The board will be monitoring the situation closely, working closely with Dr. Taylor to ensure that Cambridge Analytica, in all of its operations, represents the firm's values and delivers the highest quality service to its client.
Very good. Sahil Kapoor just tweeted out, this is my favorite tweet of the day so far. Nixed in PR fix for mixed election tricks.
It's like an old variety thing, you know. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. All right, so I'm going to sort of skip around with these other tweets that I did today. We're going to end with, we're going to, you know, have a bunch of these about the new scandal. You know, the sex scandal tweets that have come out, but
So there's Cambridge Analytica, right? That's
yeah.
going on.
Yep.
There's
mm-hmm.
the sex scandal stuff on three different fronts, right?
Three different fronts,
right?
Yeah.
And
yep.
and then there's just, you know, the usual Mueller, you know,
the usual blasting news headlines that come out that sort of get pushed to the side. Here's an NRA TV tweet. It's I haven't watched it, but it's a clip that I haven't watched. But the quote is, and then I'm going to give you the tweet that I did I'm giving you. The NRA TV says, it's clear that Great Mills High School officer saved lives. Where's the wall-to-wall coverage of that? This story is proof. When something doesn't fit their anti-gun, anti-freedom narrative, the lying MSM mainstream media simply doesn't cover it. And then Franklin Leonard, who is the Blacklist founder, it says here, I guess it wasn't too early to politicize this one.
You know, here's what I don't understand. Do we know for sure if it was the school resource officer that killed the shooter?
I think we do know that. Everything I've heard says that there was one shot fired
right.
by him and
the
shooter is dead. So unless he killed himself.
Yeah, which is possible.
Yeah, it is possible. But it's being reported as if it was the resource officer. So, yeah, so they're politicizing it. But, you know, we shouldn't politicize
anything. Of course not.
Anything.
Right.
No.
No.
All right. Now, here's something that isn't getting any attention because it came out this morning. Which is, wait, it's in the past.
It was a lifetime ago.
Oh, goodness, my TV just turned itself off, which it does every so often. That's nice. Notes emails reveal Trump administration's abrupt cancellation of a federal program to prevent teen pregnancy last year. It was directed by political appointees over the objections of career experts in the Department of Health and Human Services. I'm going to give you, I have like six pull quotes. This is from, it's via Apple News, but I think it was it Washington Post? I don't remember. When it says Apple News, it means if I click over, I'm going to lose my tweet. So I'm not going to do that. But three appointees with strict pro-abstinence beliefs, including Victoria Huber, the then chief of staff for the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health, guided the process to end a program many medical pros credit with helping to bring the nation's teen pregnancy rate to an all-time low. Mm-hmm. Office of Adolescent Health head admonished to get in line and told her not to place, not her place to ask about use of funds. She was frustrated, quote, about the time process is taking and that her staff has not been part of the discussions. She was so rattled that, quote, my reaction when I got on the phone was to cry. The story behind the program's demise is one of a growing list of examples of the control Trump political appointees are exerting at federal agencies. It is also part of a broader narrative about programs benefiting women and children becoming political targets under a president who insists he is an advocate for women's rights and health. And finally, in November, Health and Human Services announced a $10 million research initiative to ensure any sex ed programs follow the science to improve youth and health and well-being, including, quote, sexual risk avoidance. Right. Abstinence-only programs have been shown not to work.
But that's what they want to go back to.
That's what they are going back to. And I'm sorry, this was from NBC, not Washington Post. I did click over. So that broke today and is getting zero attention.
Well, that's understandable because there's so much other stuff going on that, news stories, you know, go unnoticed because there's too much other stuff going on.
There's too much scandal going on.
You know what else? I mentioned that today, you know, was the anniversary, 15 years since the Iraq War. Today's the first day of spring. Today also marks 6 months since Puerto Rico was hit by Hurricane Maria.
I have been tweeting about that. I think I tweeted twice today, or maybe it was yesterday, but again today on that very thing. People are dying.
Yep.
People are still dying, and nobody is paying attention, at least in the news media.
Rosalind Warren, a journalist from The Guardian, tweeted that today is the 6 month anniversary. People here are still suffering. She writes, electricity still isn't fully restored. Homes remain destroyed. Many still have no roofs. Suicide rates reached a new high, and the U.S. government is still withholding aid.
That's right. It's Trump's Katrina, and nobody cares, except, of course, the people in Puerto Rico and a few of us out here in the air somewhere, you know, in the universe. But how about that? That's kind of important.
Yep.
That's we're talking about Americans here too. So he can't use the excuse, you know, they're not Americans, although they are a different color than he's used to or wants to be used to. So I guess that's what changed his mind about talking about it anymore. Maybe he could throw some more paper towels.
Yeah. Oh, he can do that. But they don't need anything anymore.
No, they don't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're done. All right. So there was a big uproar this morning because it was tweeted out that Trump Co. was hoping to get Ted Olson to represent him.
Yep, that was news today. For a little while,
he and Gibson Dunn both turned him down.
Yes, in fact,
Gibson Dunn was going to be the impeachment attorney, a hot shot, and Theodore B. Olson publicly, and this has been made public, so you know it's kind of a slap in the face now, said no thank you.
Yeah, Ted Boutros tweeted, I can confirm that Gibson Dunn and Theodore B. Olson will not be representing Donald Trump.
That is exactly the tweet I was looking at. So yes, and I put up a little rejected again and a little violin that everybody could play. he's having trouble getting people to defend him because he's indefensible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. Here's from Manu Raju. Is he CNN?
Yep.
Yeah. And then people for Bernie tweeted over it. So Manu Raju said, McCain, quote, an American president does not lead the free world by congratulating dictators on winning sham elections. And by doing so with Vladimir Putin, President Trump insulted every Russian citizen who was denied the right to vote in a free and fair election. And then People for Bernie commented over it, but is he voting to confirm Pompeo and Haspel?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
See, that's the thing. And, you know, it's great that these Republicans, and I may have addressed, I don't know if I addressed this in my yesterday's tweets or not. I can't remember because the news is so crazy. But these Republicans who were coming out and chastising Trump, or at least saying, you know, keep Mueller safe kind of thing, they're not doing anything about it. Because
no.
They're not convincing their fellow Republican congressmen and women, what a few women there are, to actually protect Mueller. They're just saying, yeah, Mueller's great. Let him do his thing. And that's that.
Well, they are saying that today, and I had it written down somewhere, and I don't know if I can find it or not. Here we go. From Jonathan Lemire of the Associated Press. He tweeted this. Multiple White House officials said that they believe Trump is now acutely aware of the political and even legal consequences of taking action against Mueller. For now, they predicted, Trump will snipe at Mueller from the outside. But apparently the risk of him firing him is null for now anyway.
Okay, but what he can do, he can tweet his little brains out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he doesn't have brains, but he can pull out his little Twitter binky and he can suck on it hard and say words. But he can also kind of go around Mueller and start getting money cut for the investigation.
Yep,
and start firing other people and chip away at it, which is what what's his name thinks, Lawrence Tribe. I think I have that tweet. I'm not sure. So let's wait on that. But there are other ways to go after Mueller or go after the investigation without firing Mueller.
Right.
And they're all feasible. Yesterday on one of the shows, there were two ways to go around. And one of them was the way I said, and the other one I've forgotten, but it was also extremely feasible and very disturbing. And it's all making me very upset. So let's move on to the sexy stuff.
Okay. Let's go.
Because who cares about real news? All right, this is real news too, but ex-Playboy model sues to break silence on Trump. This is the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a former Playboy model who claimed she had an affair with Trump sued on Tuesday to be released from a 2016 legal agreement requiring her silence, becoming the second woman this month to challenge Trump's allies' efforts during the presidential campaign to bury stories about extramarital relationships. The model, Karen McDougal, is suing the company that owns the National Enquirer, American Media Incorporated, which paid her $150,000 and whose chief executive is a friend of Trump's.
Mm-hmm.
The other woman is Stormy Daniels. Okay, so what she's doing is saying, you know, you may have paid me and then not printed my story, but that doesn't mean I can't talk about it.
Right. Well, she's suing to break her NDA.
Yeah.
And this what happened is that today, oh, let me find this. I know I have it in my emails. Judge allows former apprentice contestant. Oh, this is a different one.
Oh, that's the other one.
Oh,
yeah,
that's the other one. I'm getting them confused. Okay.
Right. This is not the NDA. This is her saying she's suing the Enquirer's owners to say, okay, her lawyers contend that his client was misled and that the contract was executed under fraudulent circumstances, giving her the right to sue in court rather than proceed in arbitration. Ari Melber was saying her case is actually stronger than Stormy Daniels, because what she's saying is, look, what I was saying, they said, here, we're going to print this. We're paying you to print your story. Then they pulled the story. That kept her quiet because she made a deal with them that they could print the story
exclusively.
But they didn't.
Right. That they could have the exclusive on it.
But those are words on a page. They can't say to her, you can't talk about it.
Mm.
That's what Ari was saying.
Okay.
She can use different words and she can talk about things that she can tell, as opposed to the story that they were just going to print. She can't replicate that story word for word, but she can use different words.
Right. Well, what I have is Scott Dworkin, who's a funder.
Yeah.
He tweeted, Karen McDougal had an affair with Donald Trump the same time as Stormy Daniels. She was paid $150,000 by Trump's friend in 2016 for her story, which he never ran. That's the guy at the Inquirer. He just wanted to pay for her silence. So she's suing to break her NDA. It's yet another election payoff scandal.
Oh, I guess it kind of rolls around to that. But that's not how it was explained on the TV. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure, you know, when I'm sure the two things are somehow tied together. I'm looking at the story now. I'm trying to find something to pull, but it's just a bunch of words in front of my face right now. So I'm not going to. Mr. Davidson. Who's Mr. Davidson?
Who's Mr. Davidson? I don't know.
Now I got to backtrack. Okay, that doesn't work. It's too many words, and I'm trying to skim through it without success. I'm just going to say Mr. Davidson informed her that AMI would buy her story but not publish it because of, I love this, Mr. Pecker's relationship with Mr. Trump.
His name is really name Mr. Pecker?
Yes.
Oh, my God. So these are the people payment. At the National Enquirer.
Yes.
That's too funny.
As AMA and Mr. Davidson pushed her to sign the deal, McDougal expressed misgivings, but her suit says Mr. Davidson and Mr. Howard argued in an urgent Skype call that the deal to promote her would kickstart and revitalize her career, given that she was old now. She was 45. Okay, anyway, so she's doing her thing, all right? Let me get rid of that tweet and see if I have any more. All right, so... Yeah, you're right. I mean, here's Tom Namako of BuzzFeed saying Playboy model, same one, who says she had an affair with Trump, sues to break NDA.
Right. So there's the Playboy model, that's Susan McDougal. There's the porn star Stormy Daniels. And then there's the apprentice contestant, Summer Zervos.
He says Trump groped her. She can sue him now. Let me get rid of this ex-Playboy thing. New York Post, President Trump must face defamation suit filed by former apprentice contestant Summer Zervos, judge rules. And by the way, that means he doesn't get immunity and it opens him up to discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can find, where's my New York Post? Here it is. President Trump must face a defamation suit filed by the former apprentice star contestant Summer Zervos as a Manhattan Supreme Court judge denied him immunity through his job as the nation's commander-in-chief. In Clinton versus Jones, the U.S. Supreme Court held that a sitting president is not immune, blah, blah, blah. It left open the question of whether concerns of federalism and comedy compel a different conclusion, da, da, da. And then at the end, the decision means that Zervos, who in 2016 accused then-candidate Trump of groping and pressing his privates against her in 2007, can pursue her defamation case against the president for suggesting she made up the allegations for 10 minutes of fame.
Good for her.
Absolutely good for her. So yay her. And then the final, what's this? Trump's lawyer tried to delay, this is from Julia Marsh of the New York Post. Trump's lawyer tried to delay Zervos' suit, saying that, quote, Thomas Jefferson made clear that the president's responsibilities are 24/7. But judge countered, there are no compelling reasons for delaying plaintiff's day in court.
Okay.
Nee, 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 nee. Okay, so then here's the third. NBC News, Stormy Daniels took a polygraph test in 2011 in which she said she had unprotected sex with Donald Trump in 2006. And here I pulled these quotes here. The examiner asked her a series of questions, three of which were relevant to the alleged affair. Quote, around July 2006, did you have vaginal intercourse with Donald Trump? Quote, around July 2006, did you have unprotected sex with Donald Trump? I guess I can't get those words out because they are so disgusting.
Right.
And three, did Trump say he would get you on The Apprentice? Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, my God. She wanted to go on The Apprentice? That's why she did this? Oh, hell.
That was part of my...
Oh, God help me.
Oh, I can't even. But so, yes, there's that. And of course, lie detectors they're not really admissible. I mean,
they're not
try.
Admissible they, in they're... court, but they do say they're pretty accurate. And they're saying it's 99% likely that she's telling the truth.
Yeah. So it's good PR. It's good in the public domain, you know, like here, look at me, I'm telling the truth. But if she uses it in court, meh.
Well, she can't use it in court because it's not admissible.
Right.
Exactly. But it's just more stuff that they're putting out every day. It's something with these people. And her attorney, who I really like, but I think he needs to get off TV now. You know what I'm talking about?
He's great. He put up a tweet today that had the picture of her taking the test and just went, I kind of want to see him. I want to see him on TV. He's too much fun. I know what you're saying, but I don't care.
Yeah, well, the 60 Minutes episode is allegedly airing this Sunday.
That's right.
Although Trump is saying she owes him $20 million because she's been talking about their alleged affair and thereby, breaking the NDA. Right.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
And, of course, if it does air, which I'm hoping it will, you're going to see that lawyer, Michael Avenatti, all over the place, all over again. So, only this time it'll be more fun. Okay, so Huckabee's did another White House lying session today.
Yeah, I actually saw most of it. She's something.
Oh boy. So Phil Rucker of the Washington Post, he did two tweets that I put out. Sanders says Trump did not raise Russia's meddling in the 2016 U.S. election in his phone call congratulating Putin on his recent victory, the recent victory where they were stuffing the ballot boxes on TV, on video. You can actually see people pulling multiple ballots and then stuffing them in the boxes. And part two of the tweet is, same with Russia's poisoning of an ex-spy in Britain. Sanders said it did not come up. So Trump called Putin to congratulate him, but did not have stern words or any words on election meddling or poisoning.
On anything.
Yeah.
He just sucked up to him and said, let's get together soon. Want to have a play date?
Let's have tea. Another tweet, this is from David Mack of BuzzFeed. Just a remarkable thing for the spokesperson for the, quote, leader of the free world to say. And then he quotes, does the White House believe that the election in Russia was free and fair? We're focused on our elections. We don't get to dictate how other countries operate. Except then Matthew Nussbaum of Politico says, so Pence is going to make this speech tomorrow, and I'm confused because the press secretary just said the White House doesn't kind of do that kind of stuff when asked if Russia's elections were free and fair. And the quote is, the White House says Pence will use his address to the Organization of American States to ask nations to increase pressure on Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro to address the country's humanitarian crisis, release political prisoners, and hold free and fair elections.
Okay, so only when we say it's okay for us to meddle, do we meddle?
Exactly. It's a big case of hypocrisy again, and it's so easy. It came up so quickly that people are like trigger happy with, oh, yeah, well, we've got this saying you're a hypocrite. So that's today. That was all today.
Okay.
Yesterday. I just gathered a bunch of random tweets, and here they are. LOL GOP said Wall Street has bet trillions of dollars on the stability of Donald Trump will always be the best case for financial regulations that's not an actual depression.
Yes, and sadly, they're cutting regulations on Wall Street in the wake of this, which is what's truly frightening. That leads to actual depression.
Exactly.
The other kind of depression.
So Trump said this March 11th, and then I'm going to come back with Christina Wilkie of CNBC. Okay. He said, the failing New York Times, I think this is a tweet. Yeah,
yes.
Because he ends with and dot, dot, dot. So I'm going to cut the and. The failing New York Times purposely wrote a false story stating that I am unhappy with my legal team on the Russia case, and I'm going to add another lawyer to help out. Wrong. I am very happy with my lawyers, John Dowd, Ty Cobb, and Jay Sekulow. They are doing a great job. And then Christina Wilkie follows up with March 11th. Trump denies he will add another lawyer to help out. His Russia team slams Maggie Haberman reporting. Then March 19th, quote, former U.S. Attorney Joe DiGenova will be joining our legal team later this week, says Jay Sekulow. Da, 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 da.
Right.
So again, caught in the hypocrisy, caught in the lies.
Always. That's the one constant we know of, is that whatever he says holds no credence because he goes back on his word all the time. He has no word.
There is nothing that comes out of his mouth or Huckabee's mouth that is true. Mm-hmm. I mean, if something comes out that is true, it's a rarity and we should frame it. But basically, people keep saying to me, the press shouldn't go to the White House press corps shouldn't go to the press conferences that she has, the White House briefings that she has. That would only work if all of them abandoned her.
That's right.
But you're going to get conservative outlets that go, and then you're going to only have conservative news that comes out of it. Yep. So, and they're obligated to go. This is the president's mouthpiece, and they can at least challenge her.
Yeah, and some of them do, thankfully.
Yes, and they're getting better, at least in print, at coming up with, the fact checks like we just did. So anyway, Nathan M., one of my teenage followers who I really like, he said apparently a Trump non-disclosure is also a lie-on-demand commitment as well.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. He's really smart, by the way. I love Nathan M. Alan Dershowitz will be
followed
up.
This is a little dated already, but go ahead.
Yes. I'm going to follow that up with a tweet. But Alan Dershowitz said, Cynthia Nixon may run for governor of New York. She has collaborated with Israel haters, Jewish Voice for Peace, and Vanessa Redgrave in boycotting Israel. Do not support her bigotry. And then Alex Koch of the Young Turk said, in other words, Cynthia Nixon thinks Palestinians are people, too, and deserve their own country, free from occupation and apartheid.
Right. And Cynthia Nixon is indeed running for governor of New York. I remember her as a child actress. A movie that I loved as a kid, they were at summer camp. She was with, I can picture the other girls. I can't think. I think Tatum O'Neill was in it.
I know which one you mean.
Yeah, they were at a summer camp.
I love that movie.
I know,
it was
a great movie. Yeah. Buddy was the girl's name, the other girl. I can't think of the actress's name.
Wait, so she was in that?
She was in that. Cynthia Nixon was a child actress. She's been around for a long, long time.
I only knew her from Sex and the City. I had no idea
She
was a child actress.
Oh, yes. Go look, Google her on IMDb or something and look at some
Little
of the stuff.
Little Darlings.
Little Darlings. That was the name of it. She was in
Thank
Little
you,
Darlings.
Speedbird. Yes. Yep. Yes.
That was it.
That was such a cute movie. Okay, so Digby.
Yes.
I love Digby. She was talking about Trump's opioid speech that you played part of. She said Trump appears with his wife Melania and praises her, so she won't be mad about Stormy. He also brought along his faithful dog Sessions and gave him a big attaboy on TV. Melania still doesn't look happy, but the dog was practically leaping with joy that he'd pleased his master.
Good one. Yeah, Digby's going to be here Friday, by the way. Just
good.
Shameless self-promotion here.
Okay, so then I was going to read you the Channel 4 news on the UK thing, in the UK, I'm sorry, on
Cambridge Analytica,
but we know about it.
Right.
So I could just sort of skip it, but I'll give you the recap. As Trump's elections consultant secretly filmed offering to use Ukrainian sex workers to entrap politicians, or as Judd Legum at Think Progress put it, Trump's digital consultants admit to using bribes and sex workers to entrap political opponents in explosive new video. So, and then I had a few quotes I was going to pull out. I don't know if we need it, but I can do it if you want. I can read you what I wrote.
Sure. Go ahead.
It's pull quotes. Bosses were filmed talking about using bribes, ex-spies, fake IDs, and sex workers. In one exchange, when asked about digging up material on political opponents, Mr. Nix, who just got suspended, said they could, quote, send some girls around to the candidate's house, adding that Ukrainian girls are very beautiful. I find that works very well. Offering bribes to public officials is an offense under the UK Bribery Act and US Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. The admissions were filmed at a series of meetings at London hotels over 4 months between November 2017 and January 2018. An undercover reporter for Channel 4 News posed as a fixer for a wealthy client hoping to get candidates elected in Sri Lanka. Now, what is so funny is that CA is now saying, no, see, we were just playing along to test the client.
Oh.
And then it went a little far, and then, but the weird thing is they kept getting in touch with that same client. So why?
Isn't that interesting? Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Mm. Okay. So the Horse Whisperer, he's really good. That's HOARSE, Whisperer. He said British authorities preparing a warrant to raid the dirtiest fuck operation that harvests stolen data to help Trump and Brexit campaigns. The Cambridge Analytica trail leads straight back to Kushner, Bannon, the Mercers, and Russia.
Why am I not surprised?
Exactly. And then with today's news about, anti-Hillary connections, you know, doing all the anti-Hillary plant articles and trying to get people to believe their fake news. It all is tying in slowly but surely, and I'm waiting for somebody to come along and say something definitive here, but, you know, to tie everything up and make it a legal issue.
Right. No, it's all just going to be overly complicated. So we're left scratching our heads going, what the hell is going on here?
Well, you know, that is exactly right. Because when it first came out that they were putting out, you know, that they had the 50 million unsuspecting people on Facebook, mm-hmm. whose data they were using, that was the story, right? And then they came out with this one that I just read, where they were sitting at the table and having a glass of wine and discussing all these bribes and fake IDs and stuff. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Is that the same? What? And now today they're coming out with the whole Hillary part of it. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm lost. I'm totally confused. All I know is these people are all, I want to use the word crooked. He's, you know, he's tainted the word crooked for me.
I know.
But they are. These people are crooks.
They really are.
That, goes with the gaslighting.
They're just the lowest of the low, below, I mean, sub-low, sub-scum, sub-cretin. I don't know. They're horrible, horrible people. Anyone who gets near Trump, anyone who gets within his breath, his stinky orange breath, is just tainted by him.
Yes.
Ugh.
Tainted
anyway,
Trump.
Lawrence, here's the Lawrence Tribe one. Trump's new lawyer, Joe DiGenova, argued a different quote than I was thinking of. He argued in 1997 that it would be a good idea for a special counsel to indict a sitting president without waiting for him to be removed through impeachment and conviction. Gee, what's changed?
Gee, I wonder. Gee, mm-hmm. Who's in office now? Ah.
Scratching head, yeah. Rubbing chin, looking skyward. Yeah. And same with, by the way, I think, what's his name, who just turned him down, said the same thing. The one that just turned him down, his name just went out of my head.
Ted Olson?
Ted Olson, yeah. Supreme Court refuses to intervene in the Pennsylvania gerrymandering case. That was a big story. And David Wasserman, who I love reading him on election nights. Oh, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
His tweets. If you ever, during an election night, if you're ever on Twitter, follow at, oh crap, what's his name? Lost it. Sorry, guys, I lost his name.
But Dave Wasserman of Cook Report. You can Google Dave Wasserman Cook Report Twitter and it'll come up.
Right. But he's terrific on election nights. Anyway, he said the new PA map is a done deal. Under new lines, Democrats have excellent chance to pick up 3 to 5 seats. In addition to Lamb, under the old lines, it would be 1 to 3. So the net change would be about +2 Democrats.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Connor Lamb won't be there because his seat goes away with a new districting. But that's okay because it'll be better in the long run. It'll be fairer.
Yes. Yes, indeed. But that he won when it wasn't fairer is amazing.
Yes,
it's simply amazing.
It is.
The rogue senior advisor, every so often I like to quote him because or her, whoever it is, because they can be really funny and they can be kind of insightful. And they've actually at redistrict. Thank you, Speedbird 9, again, to the rescue. At redistrict. I knew it had something to do with a D word. but rogue senior advisor has been prescient at times, or at least based on what they seem to know. Have been accurate at times. So they are a plausible account, although they may also be a parody account. It's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, how can anyone possibly side with Trump over Mueller? Who has more integrity, the purple heart-winning lifetime public servant or a guy with a mail-order steak business who cheated on his wife with a porn star he later paid hush money to 2 months after she gave birth to their son?
Well, you know, there's that. And Donald Trump does have a purple heart. Remember somebody gave it to him?
Yes. He was jealous. He wanted a purple heart.
He always wanted a purple heart, he said.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He always wanted one. What an idiot. And he doesn't know what the word contemporaneous means.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
He tweeted yesterday that he said Andrew McCabe, who got fired prematurely, or whatever they did to the poor guy, you know, where he couldn't get his pension. He said he didn't take notes while he was with me. Well, that's not what contemporaneous notes necessarily means. It means you run home and write them down.
Or get out in the car. As soon as the meeting is over, being the operative word there, then you go
as soon as you
take the notes.
Yes. Because you want to remember things as they have happened, so you write them down as close to the time that they happened as you can.
Right, not during the meeting.
No, who's going to take notes while you're in a meeting with somebody? That's unless you're supposed to.
Right.
That's the stupidest thing, that he didn't even know what that meant.
Well, he doesn't know what a lot of things mean. He really doesn't. It's so
sad. As Call Me Tripp said, more terribly, his followers don't know what contemporaneously means either.
Well, that's true.
But if they'd followed the OJ trial, that's where I found out what they meant. They used that word a lot. So even his people who follow him now, if they followed that trial, they would know what that meant. Oh, well.
Yeah.
You know, they're hopeless. So Kevin Schroff, who is a former Hillary Digital guy, said Cambridge Analytica stole data to elect Trump. That data was used to fundraise. The Trump campaign had a joint fundraising agreement with the RNC. The entire GOP benefited from this criminal activity. That's why they are helping Trump get away with it.
Oh, good take. That's interesting.
Yeah, and nobody really picked up on that. That was something, you know, that I saw a couple of people retweeted, but I don't know how many more since then. But that's a really good take. They stole data. All right, then the data was used to fundraise. And then the Trump campaign had a joint fundraising agreement with the RNC.
Mm-hmm. So when they're fundraising together, they all benefit from the said funds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which means they commingled with, oh, God, this is just so convoluted.
When
you think about all the people involved, I mean, more and more, even, you know, with the Mueller thing, all these little stories and little connections start popping up that you never would think about. And now with this that we just read, the fundraising thing, you know, I wouldn't have thought of that. That's just amazing to me. So many little twists and turns in this. I hope, you know, it's very possible that Mueller, we will never see his report.
Oh, no, very possible. It's because it's not done for public consumption.
Right. And if what is it, the DOJ has control over that? Is that right?
I believe so. Yeah.
So they could burn it.
They could.
Now, I wonder, do you happen to know this? Do you happen to know if Mueller is allowed to talk about the report once he's issued it?
I have no idea.
I mean, I wonder if there's, like, if he's gagged, is he allowed to discuss his findings? Is he allowed to go on air and discuss them? Or is it limited? Just, you know, is this a sealed document that nobody could ever know
about? I don't know. With Clinton, now, it was a different thing. It was not a special counsel. It was an independent prosecutor. And I don't know if the rules were different that the Starr report was issued. I mean, I remember they published it in every newspaper. There were big inserts in the newspapers. With the Starr report. But I don't know if
it was published. I mean, it was
published.
It was in book form. They
That's
sold
right.
it.
Yes, they did. And then it also came out as a book. So, yeah. But I don't know if it was because it was a different animal, as it were, because it was an independent prosecutor and not a special counsel. I don't know. I really don't know the
confusing.
Answer.
Yeah, that's confusing. And nobody has brought that up. Maybe I can direct a question to who would be good to ask, Ari Melber or, oh, you know who? Jill Winebanks. I'm going to tweet her. She actually has answered my tweets.
Oh, good.
In the past. Now, I don't know now if she will. That was about a month ago before she got ultra, ultra super popular, 2 months ago.
Well, but, ask her. You can also ask John Dean. I mean, I would expect he would know the answer.
Yeah. He often doesn't see tweets, though. I mean, he and I do, you know, we do engage sometimes, but I've tweeted him in the past where it goes by him, and then I get an answer like 2 months later.
Right. Well, you can try asking a few people. That's a great question, and I don't know the answer, and I don't know that anybody actually knows the answer to it right now, other than perhaps Mueller,
or maybe one of the congressmen on the committee know.
That's possible.
You know, like Swalwell or somebody. Maybe they would know.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know.
We should all talk in English accents today to celebrate the CAA reporting.
Yes. Well, we'll be doing that tomorrow when Dennis Campbell is here. You know, I got to meet him when I was off that Friday a few weeks ago to do the Florida Healthcare Summit. He was here. And so now he's back in the UK. We were going to talk about the poisoning of those spies. And now, of course, there's a much bigger story coming out of the UK. So we'll talk about all the shit that's going on.
Well, say hi for me. He said he wants to three of us to get together, and I said I wish we could. I wish we could figure out a meeting place.
No kidding. Come on to Florida. I can't afford to go anywhere right now. So you know, the only way I'm seeing anyone is if you come visit.
I got it. Well, who knows? Maybe one day.
Maybe. All right.
We actually talked about it, just so you know.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Although, it's Florida. Just saying.
Yeah, well.
All right. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh, 2 T's, 2 F's, and at laffiesplace.com, at NicoleSandler.com. Thank you, Gotta Laugh.
Thank you, too. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And again, as I said, tomorrow, Dennis Campbell of UK Progressive Magazine and the Three Muckrakers podcast will be here. Thanks, as always, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.